Hey guys, and welcome to the mailbag portion of the WWE podcast as we take your emails, your voicemails, and answer them here in real time. So thank you again for everybody who is making this show a success. Just want to put that out there. You guys are the greatest. Please consider giving us a five-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It's really a great way to help out the show, I promise you. It does make a difference. And if you want no ads, by the way, you want to get rid of those pesky ads, head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast and subscribe. For a dollar, you get the entire library 100% ad free. I think that's a good deal. You know, I'm not a mathematician. I did fail calculus a couple times. It actually took me 6 times to pass calculus. That's a real thing. That's real. That's embarrassing, but it's real. So I am certainly not a math whiz, but I know value when I see it, and I think that's a good one. So, okay. Moving on, though, to the first question, and this one is an email, and it comes to us tonight from Noah, and he says, "Hi, I'm new to this podcast, and I was wondering, what do you think will happen on Legends Raw?" Hey, Noah, so here's what I think is going to happen, and I alluded to this a little bit on my Raw review last night, but it's, to me, I don't want to say it's desperation mode, but it's pretty darn close with Vince McMahon. When ratings get super low and the tension gets ratcheted up by the networks and the sponsors, Vince tends to pull the old trick out of the bag, the tired trick of getting Legends on Raw and just making an old school night, making a retro night, making a reunion, Raw reunion, whatever he wants to label it as to try to get more eyeballs on the product. So with that said, again, Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair seem to be the two biggest names on the show. For whatever that's worth at this age, at their age, I mean, I don't know. But what's going to happen on the show is they're using the Legends to get as many eyeballs on the show as possible. And then what they're actually going to do with the storylines that matter, I think, is that The Fiend will re-debut. Or you'll at least see his face. Or you'll get a big, big clue as to what he's going to look like now that he's been burned. I think Randy Orton's going to maybe pay a small price, but escape. And these two will be the main event of the show, where it's focused on Randy Orton and The Fiend. And is The Fiend going to come back? And maybe there's teases throughout the night. The lights kind of partially go off. You hear the, like, the partial entrance of the Fiend. And I think Alexa Bliss is going to play a big role. That, to me, is going to be the kind of central theme, I believe, of Monday Night Raw. When you have the most eyeballs on the product, the holidays are over, you have Legends there. It's really now ratcheting up to the Royal Rumble. You're really starting to chase the Rumble, which is the road to WrestleMania. You're going to do something bigger than you normally would. And The Fiend coming back after a two-week absence could make sense. I think that's going to be the biggest thing that you see on the Legends Raw. Now, of course, you have the WWE Championship, because WWE cannot help themselves of just putting even their most prized belt on free TV for a guy that's been on the quote main roster for just a few months. It makes no sense, but they have it because it's a new fresh matchup, I guess, is what their logic is. Every time they give us a new matchup, is that's what wrestling fans want. Well, that's just not by itself what we want, but nonetheless, we're getting Keith Lee versus Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship. I think what's going to happen here is that Sheamus is going to get involved. He's going to accidentally bro kick Drew McIntyre, causing a disqualification. So it saves Keith Lee from taking a clean victory, which he will not take a clean victory on Monday night. Sheamus accidentally does it, or does he? And that's what the announcers are going to try to play off of, is, did he do this on purpose? Was there any real intent in this? And then it'll kind of melt into a triple threat going into the Royal Rumble of Sheamus, Keith Lee, and Drew McIntyre at the Rumble for the WWE Championship, because that's what's going to happen. Sheamus has to get involved. I could also see him doing a bro kick flat out to Keith Lee, causing a disqualification where Keith Lee wins the match by DQ, obviously not causing a title change, but then Drew gets frustrated with Sheamus costing him the match, and they start to brawl for real. I mean, and then one way or the other, however it happens, Sheamus gives a bro kick accidentally to Drew or purposefully to Keith Lee and gets a disqualification. This match is ending in a disqualification. You can almost bank on it, leading to a triple threat with all three men at the Royal Rumble. I feel fairly confident on that. So, Noah, thank you for the question, and thank you for being a new listener. Much appreciated. Okay, now we get to a new another question. Hi, I'm Petra, or Petra. I apologize. I don't know the pronunciation. So I am a first-time emailer, and I just had a few opinions of what's going on right now in WWE. So on another one of your podcasts, I heard that you didn't know what was going to happen with Roman Reigns and The Fiend. Well, my idea is that they could face each other, and of course I want them to continue Roman with Kevin Owens until people want something new. Anyway, I don't want WWE to rush this. I want them to go slow and steady. I know The Fiend is on a different brand, but with the Royal Rumble coming, I want that to be put aside. How I want this to go is them maybe having some interactions, doing some small storylines with Roman, and then The Fiend still having interactions with each other. Eventually, the Royal Rumble will come, and Roman and The Fiend will both be in the Rumble. Roman will dominate until The Fiend comes out, with The Fiend eliminating Roman, and The Fiend wins the Rumble, challenges Roman Reigns at WrestleMania for the championship title as Bray Wyatt. P.S. This will only work if WWE decides to let people with the championship belts participate in the Rumble. Well, we've seen people with the belts participate in the Rumble before. Brock Lesnar, WWE champion, was number one last year, and until he was eliminated by Drew McIntyre in one of the biggest pops of all time, he was champion. He was dominating the Rumble, and we've seen it before. They bend the rules all the time on this kind of stuff, so I would think they could bend the rules to make this happen. The question I have, though, is The Fiend and Roman Reigns. It's a big matchup. It's a matchup that we all thought was going to happen last year at WrestleMania until WWE did a swerve with Goldberg that actually ended up not happening because Roman Reigns decided to leave for health reasons for his family. Respectable, and I get it. So it's going to happen. That match is going to happen, and I understand that they're on separate brands, but as you said, whoever wins the Rumble, they need to decide, and they need to announce to fans the winner of the Rumble. Can they challenge for either championship, or is it only challenging for the belt on your brand? The answer has been both in the past. They're not consistent with this, or sometimes they don't even tell you. Sometimes they don't even tell you if they've had years like that. But I would think it would be up to their, or be in their best interest to allow for flexibility instead of just being very stringent, that the winner can choose either. It makes it more interesting. It makes it much more exciting of, wow, they're on Raw, but can they challenge Roman Reigns? And could The Fiend win? Yes, he could. The question, though, is who's taking the pinfall there? Because The Fiend is a character that can't be beat unless your name's Goldberg, that we all pretend didn't happen. And Roman Reigns is on such a hot streak, I don't want him to lose either. But at WrestleMania, you have to have a winner. It can't be one of those pay-per-views to do a DQ finish to get you to the next destination. WrestleMania is the destination. So I have concerns about, number one, who would play the heel? And number two, who would take the pinfall? Because Bray Wyatt, I guess he's a heel. He hasn't really proven to be a babyface. He's the tweener. He's just a character right now. He doesn't have a defined role as one or the other. I guess they're pinning Randy Orton right now as the heel against Bray Wyatt simply for the fact of getting him ready for Edge's return that's imminent. And they can't have him babyface when Edge returns. I get it. It makes total sense. But The Fiend and Roman Reigns is going to happen. I want it to happen. It will happen. The question is, though, are they going to do it this year at WrestleMania, or do they maybe wait until SummerSlam? I say wait till SummerSlam. I really do. I want the matchup just as you do. I just have concerns that is The Fiend really the one who should be taking the belt off of Roman? You know, Drew McIntyre has unfinished business with Roman Reigns. I hope, you know, if Drew McIntyre somehow drops the belt at Royal Rumble and then wins the Royal Rumble, that could all happen too. Don't forget, just because you're in a championship match at Rumble doesn't mean you can't participate in the Royal Rumble. We saw it happen with Becky Lynch. So there's a lot of things here that we need to consider, a lot of moving parts. which is why it makes this Royal Rumble so difficult to predict. Somebody asked me a week or two ago to predict the Royal Rumble winners. I'm like, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. So, great question. I really would love to see this program. I don't think your logic is flawed at all. I just think it may not be the time for these two to meet. It's going to happen. It should happen. And I want it to happen. I just don't think WrestleMania would be the time to do it, given there's much better opponents for Roman Reigns that would make more sense, like people who have unfinished business like Drew McIntyre. Or, of course, there's always The Rock out there. You know, people keep throwing that out. Lars Sullivan. I'm joking. Okay. All right. Moving on here to voicemails. Let's take our first one.
Hey, Matt. This is DJ Kuzmo finally calling into your show. Happy holidays to you and to the listeners. I'm just sharing some of my thoughts and some hot takes. First and foremost, my condolences to the family of John Huber and all those that got a chance to meet with him in person and, you know, all the friends and all his loved ones. I'm very sad that he died tragically this year. And, you know, the only chance I got a chance to watch him on pro wrestling was in AEW. And he was actually the reason why I started watching AEW earlier this year. You know, there was a lot of rumors about who the Exalted One was going to be, whether it's Matt Hardy or somebody else. And I didn't know too much about Brody Lee or John Huber to that matter. But since seeing him debut on AEW, I got a chance to do some research and find out that he was part of the Wyatt family and all that, you know, all the stuff in the WWE and how, you know, everything pretty much didn't end so good for him in the WWE. But other than that, yeah, it's so sudden that he passed away. I think about also like Kobe Bryant, you know, and Shad Gaspar, you know, and a couple of other people that have passed away this year. And, you know, crazy how, you know, wrestling is like a place that we could escape from reality. But when death comes into the picture, it's like, you know, it kind of levels the playing field. And it's like, you know, we're just here just for this one life. And, you know, whatever we do, we have to make it count. And we have to have a legacy to leave behind. But other than that, on the WWE side, I'm loving SmackDown. I'm loving Raw. Right now, SmackDown has, you know, done a pretty good job. Roman Reigns as the Universal Champion. I remember, like, sharing my tweets with you before Roman came back. And I was saying, can we get, you know, a new revitalized character of Roman Reigns? And gladly, he came back at SummerSlam. Going into 2021, I hope to see Roman Reigns remain as the Universal Champion. On Raw for 2021, I really want to see the Hurt Business continue to be a dominant faction in the WWE. You know, recently, Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin just won the tag team championships. So I want to see the Hurt Business as this dominant faction going into 2021. I don't want to see no dissension. I don't want to see any type of breakups. You know, we saw a couple breakups this year, you know, with the whole Iconics and the Zelina faction. So I want the Hurt Business. I want the WWE to keep the Hurt Business going in 2021. Keep Roman Reigns as the Universal Champion. Drew McIntyre, by far, is one of the best babyface champions, probably since John Cena. And I don't know who else may come up against him. You know, I know we have Keith Lee facing him on free TV. I don't know why the WWE now is making it a trend that we got to have title matches, especially WWE title matches and Universal title matches on free TV. But anyway, in terms of the whole product itself, you know, a lot of ups and downs. But on the other side, things are moving on the up and up in terms of wrestling. AEW is doing great. Even other wrestling promotions like Ring of Honor. I'm starting to get into watching New Japan Wrestling and also getting into watching Impact with the whole Kenny Omega crossover thing that's going on. But other than that, man, all the best to you guys. All the best to the WWE Unofficial Podcast. Let's crack the top five, man. I know we guys could do it. And yeah, just happy new year and keep everything positive in a positive perspective. We finally made it to the end of this year. All the best, and I'll talk to you next time.
DJ Kuzmo, my goodness, finally, you get to connect. We get to connect. It's really great to hear your voice. I got to say, you certainly sound like a DJ. I mean that in the best way. Like, you have a voice for radio. I mean, there's no question about it. There's you have it. You know you have it, and it's great to hear you. So, and for those that don't know, probably one of the most passionate listeners we have. DJ Kuzmo is absolutely one of the most passionate and supportive listeners of our show. So much love to you, DJ. Thank you so much. I hope you and your family and friends are doing well in this just insane 2020 as we all just wave goodbye with a smile on our face to 2020. So. A lot of stuff you bring up there. Tons. I was like feverishly writing as you were speaking, and I don't want to go in detail about everything. I'll just kind of pick and choose out of everything you said. First of all, for the thing that comes to mind, hurt business. Yes, stay away from dissension. Stay away. Don't break something that's not needing to be broken up. Like, don't fix something that's not broke. I guess is where the hell I was going with that. It's late, guys, and keep them together. This group is working. This group is overachieving anything that WWE likely had them envisioned to be. Both or all four men are excelling. All four men are being elevated to that next level. Three out of the four are champions, and the other one that's not a champion is the one that holds it all together, an MVP, the glue, the mouthpiece. All four men right now need one another. And they are doing a hell of a job. I'm with you. Keep them together. Stop with teasing the dissension. I'm okay with Cedric Alexander being that kind of young, aggressive up-and-comer in the group. I'm fine with that. But I don't want this to lead to, oh, Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander fighting backstage. Oh, I'm not going to care about that. I don't want that. As you said, we've had several groups break up this year, and really none of them made any sense. I don't agree with anything. Any group that broke up this year, the Iconics, made no sense. The whole Austin Theory, Zelina Vega group with Andrade and Angel Garza. Yeah, that didn't make any sense either. So, yeah, we've seen our share of breakups that make no sense. Let's not add the Hurt Business, something really good going for Raw. Let's not add them to the list. Let's let them stay out of that graveyard of dissent. Please, I'm with you. Drew McIntyre being one of the best babyface champions since John Cena, that's a good analogy. I think he very well might be, and you know why? He might even be a better babyface champion than John Cena. And in this way, I don't mean he's a bigger star than John Cena yet. That's a very high bar to climb. And I'm not delusional enough to think he's a bigger star than John Cena. John Cena is a mega star who is now crossed over and kind of following in The Rock's footsteps, so to speak. Ironically, the footsteps that he tore down during his many promos with The Rock in 2012, 2013, when they had their matches against one another at WrestleMania. He's ironically following that same pattern and that same footsteps. But that's neither here nor there. My point is, with Drew McIntyre, he appeals to a wider audience than did John Cena. He appeals to a demo that covers both women, young children, and the all-important male demographic that you and I are in, and likely many of the listeners are in here, in that male 18 to 35 demo, even 18 to 40, right? Like, we are in that demo. I'm sadly clinging on to that demo. I'm 35, so I'm like out, just about to climb out of that demo. So I'm like expanding it so I don't feel so bad about myself. But that is what we're in, and that's a tough demo to get. That's a tough thing to do, is to create a character that all demographics cling on to and can relate to, and to be likable enough that all age groups and male, female, doesn't matter, find the babyface champion to be likable and to get behind them. That's not easy. Not easy to do at all. And they have done it with Drew McIntyre. They've got something really good going with Drew McIntyre. Really good. And I could see this man being the face of the company in the coming years, if he already isn't kind of already transitioning there. Roman Reigns, not an old guy, certainly the face of the company, I think, right now. I think Roman Reigns is probably a bigger star than is Drew McIntyre, simply because he's been on top for so much longer. Again, albeit a forced on top. It wasn't an organic, hey, let the fans tell us what we want, and we'll put him on top, and then the fans say, that's what we want, not what we want. And Vince is like, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Trust me. That's what happened. That's essentially the conversation that happened over the last 6 years with Roman, until they finally turned him heel at SummerSlam, and we never saw it coming. So right now, Roman is a bigger star, but Drew McIntyre, you're right. Great analogy with John Cena. He is a true demographic, all-encompassing demographic approved champion, if that makes sense, if that's a thing. All right, DJ, well, those are my answers for you, my feedback. I know you mentioned many other things, but I would encourage you, please call back. And if anybody wants to call back and join the fun and maybe give this a try, it's really simple. You just call, leave a voicemail for us. I promise it's not weird. I always have to say this because anytime you're calling a number, you don't know who's going to pick up. Well, here's one thing. I promise nobody picks up because it's not even a manned number. So here's the all important number to call us here on the WWE podcast. That number is 518-952-0247. How about that? Okay. Let's get to our next voicemail.
Hi, it's Kyle from Baltimore, Maryland. I just want to talk about what happened on SmackDown with the women's tag team title match. That was good. And to see Sasha be out there as a tag team, it looks, I like it, even though they want them to face each other for the women's championship. But as a tag team, I can see that in your future. I just want to talk about the fact that, you know, they said that Sasha comes across unlikable. There's nothing I don't see. I don't see her being unlikable. I think what she's been doing is still great work. She comes across unlikable. But what do you think about them two as a tag team? But thanks for a call. Bye.
Hey, Kyle. Hope you're doing well. Thank you for calling in, as always. So what do I think about, and I think I heard your question correctly, what do I think about Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks being champion or tag teams together? I mean, it's kind of a makeshift tag team that they threw together. I don't think it has long legs in terms of longevity. I think it's kind of a one-off because Bianca Belair is being positioned as a solo star. Sasha Banks is a solo star. There's no need to put them together right now. Even if the women's tag team division isn't exceptionally deep, it's not worth the sacrifice of putting these two together. I don't think it makes sense. That being said, Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks for the women's SmackDown Women's Championship, yes, I think that is on the card and could happen as soon as Rumble, could happen at WrestleMania. I think Bianca Belair, one way or the other, will be crowned women's champion, SmackDown Women's Champion at WrestleMania. There's no question about that. I think that's where they're headed. As far as Sasha being unlikable, again, very subjective thing. It's not really about her in-ring work. You're right. She's good in the ring. That's not the point. I think the point is that she is on the microphone and personality-wise, the same person she was with Bayley. Obnoxious, arrogant, kind of like that head jarring and like, I don't know how to describe it. Like just bad attitude, always snarky. It's just not appealing to me. It has nothing to do with her in-ring work that is making me not like her, because she never went through the more metamorphosis of going from Bayley to babyface. Never. There was never a change. She's been the same person. You can't do that and expect fans to go along with you. There has to be some moment where the fans go, oh, that's why she was doing this. Or, oh, okay, I get it now. Nothing has ever happened. Nothing. So you can't be the same character you were with Bayley when they were so hated and expect me to like you, is my point. It's all about the character. It's all about the promos, of which she has changed nothing. So, alrighty. Thanks, Kyle. And let's get to the next voicemail.
Hey, it's Kyle from Baltimore, Maryland. I wanted to talk about why I said before about Drew McIntyre has been born as WWE champion to me personally. But I like his matches, but I feel like he's just been put in a bad situation. He became champion with no fans there at all. And you know, Roman Reigns has been the best thing on either Raw or SmackDown right now. Along with Sasha Banks. Again, I feel to me that Roman Reigns and Sasha Banks are two of the best champions on TV right now. But with Drew McIntyre and Asuka, they're both boring as champions. And so that's what I feel about Drew McIntyre. I like his matches, but him as champion, I just find very boring compared to Roman Reigns and what he's doing. So that was my, that's more into detail of how I feel about Drew McIntyre, but that was it. Thanks for the call. Bye.
Ah, Kyle back for a double dip here. So you're saying that Drew McIntyre is a boring champion, but it's not fair to compare him to SmackDown when SmackDown is its own entity, or at least it should be. You have two champions, so you can't say Roman's better because Roman has nothing to do with what Drew McIntyre's doing. Roman is doing an awesome job. We all agree. Roman is doing probably the best job of his career and carrying the company right now on his back. Both brands. I agree. He is doing awesome. But again, they're in separate worlds, Raw and SmackDown. So when we're just looking at Raw, excluding Roman, you can't compare him to Roman right now because they're not on the same brand. We need to look at, well, who is a better champ? Who would you put in Drew McIntyre's place? Who is a better champion? Who would be a better WWE champion right now? Don't tell me Keith Lee, because Keith Lee right now is not ready. They've already sent him down to NXT, I guess, for additional work. We all heard that. The Keith Lee is not ready. Okay. Miz, who's got the money in the bank, yawn and channel changing, by the way, too. Who else is on Raw that's even worthy of the championship? Please, Randy Orton, he's ready for Edge. Can't do that. So Drew McIntyre, I mean, again, this is all very subjective. And here's what I love. I love that you called and disagree. That's great. Thank you. I mean that genuinely. But I don't know who you would put in Drew McIntyre's place. Drew, I don't understand why you find him boring. Again, his matches are, we all know how good his matches are. He cuts promos that are believable. He's authentic. He's a man's man. He's... I don't think he's very generic. I think he's unique. His accent also helps him stand out. He's got a body of work that is commendable. It also helps when you look at the Stone Cold Broken Skull Sessions podcast that Drew McIntyre was on, where he revealed a whole lot about himself and you learned a lot about him. And the fact that fans aren't there isn't his fault. So you can't say he's boring because fans aren't there. That would make everyone boring. So I think fans are actually supporting him more that they're not there because they're just dying to get back and finally have that embrace with him and have that second moment of him capturing the WWE Championship again, because eventually he'll lose it. And when he gets it back, hopefully that'll be in front of thousands of fans sometime in the summer, because I think that'll happen. And Drew alluded to that also on the Stone Cold podcast on Broken Skull Sessions. So... again, fans aren't there, doesn't make him boring. Again, that would make everyone boring. So, hey, but Kyle, thank you for calling in. You know, I'm sure I'll hear from you again next week with your thoughts on what's going on, and continue to do so. Alrighty, a couple voicemails left. Let's get to it.
Hey, man, this casual wrestling fan here. Hey, I want to start off by saying congratulations to the Street Profits. Winning Slamming for Tag Team of the Year, Newcomers of the Year. I really feel like they deserve it. And shout out to them. Number two, I don't like the push that they're giving Keith Lee. I do agree that one day he will be a big star, and I do like his in-ring ability. I like him in NXT, but I feel like Keith Lee is getting pushed too quickly, and I really don't like it. I feel like Sheamus should have won the match, and that would have been, you know, nice to see Sheamus and Drew go against each other, maybe build to a long-term program between best friends, quote-unquote. An off-topic I want to talk about is the career of Goldust. I feel like the character of Goldust was incredible for the time period. I mean, in what we call in 2020, I guess the PC word is sexual fluid. I mean, he played that in the 90s, and he played that to a T. I mean, you really looked at him and just really was, you know, questioning his motives and what he was. You know, as a kid, Goldust was kind of scary to me, but looking at his career, you know, he's done everything. But when a world champion, he's been every champion, tag team, intercontinental, U.S., hardcore. I mean, he's done it all. So I do think he will be a Hall of Famer one day. And lastly, this is not about wrestling. I'm from Nashville, and as most of you guys know, we had a bombing on Christmas. And, you know, I just want to, you know, just say that to all the people who was affected by this, you know, we praying for all those people. And the first responders who responded ran to the bomb. That was incredible. But I hope you guys have a great rest of the week. Happy New Year's, and talk to you guys in the new year. Thanks.
Mr. Casual Wrestling Fan, always great to hear from you. Love hearing your opinions. So well said. And Keith Lee, first of all, yes, I think he's gotten pushed too soon. I think there would be fan backlash if they were in front of live fans. They would not probably be as on board as Vince seems to be with this. I'm with you. Keith Lee is a future world champion. He's got something about him. I think that they have done too much too soon. I'm with you. Yes, they aren't. I don't know what it is. I think it's a lack of star power on Raw, where they just don't know where to go. They want it to be fresh, but they don't have a whole lot of big, fresh new stars. So they're trying to make one. And I can appreciate that. But right now, I think Keith Lee's being hurt more than he's being assisted. Again, I don't think he's in a really bad place. I would just be treading very lightly if I was WWE. If he becomes champion on Raw, I mean, that would be a disaster. I mean, I do not want him to become a champion right now. Certainly a future world champion. I like a lot about him, but he's got some work to do. He's got some respect to earn in front of fans who have not maybe watched him in NXT. He's got a lot of background work, but agreed. The Nashville thing, yeah, certainly. We did hear about that, and glad to hear that it wasn't, you know, a ton of human loss of life. I mean, it's just 2020 just continues to be relentless with its just insanity. And I'm glad that, you know, you are safe in the Nashville area. And it was just insane the way that it happened. And I mean, my God, it's, I don't even know what to say about this stuff anymore. Like, I mean, with the way 2020 is gone, let's move on. I mean, 2021, please, agreed. And happy new year to yourself as well. All right. But your last point about the Street Profits, yeah, they won. Congratulations to them. They won Slammies. And they're a very exuberant, flamboyant tag team. I mean, everyone knows how I feel about them personality-wise. But in ring, there's nobody that can even touch them. I mean, they, outside of maybe, okay, New Day's really good. Hurt Business is really good. But Montez Ford is a future star that when this team breaks up is going to be likely challenging for, you know, United States Championship, Intercontinental Championship, and maybe even a World Championship one day for Montez Ford. Yeah, he's a smaller guy, but boy, has he got a lot of, he's got a lot of energy. He's got a lot to him. And I'm all for that. I'm all for that. I just don't like the current iteration of them. I don't like the current iteration of them being just, you know how I feel. I'm not going to go around it. But thank you so much, Wrestling Casual Wrestling Fan. You are certainly a welcome voice on the show. Alrighty, let's get to our final voicemail for the night.
Hey, what's up, Matt? It's Brad from Pennsylvania. This is probably going to be my shortest email ever. Keep it real short and sweet for you here. On the Miz getting his Money in the Bank briefcase back because Morrison cashed it in for him. 2019 Money in the Bank, or whenever it was, Brock Lesnar cashed in on Seth Rollins. You know, Paul Heyman's the one that handed in the briefcase and cashed it in for Brock after Brock went in and kicked the crap out of Seth first. Heyman ran over, handed in the briefcase, cashed it in. Brock's champ. So that kind of debunks that real quick, but I figured I'd remind you of that. So take care, brother.
Brad, you really have to get me riled up for the last voicemail tonight. Son of a... Oh, Lord. I did not forget... Or I actually... I know I did forget that. I did forget that. Now, I will say this. The only thing I can say to defend WWE, if I was on their side of defending that decision versus the whole Morrison doing it on behalf of The Miz and that's not legal, Paul Heyman is not an active competitor. Paul Heyman spoke on behalf of Brock Lesnar. Paul Heyman did business on behalf of Brock Lesnar. It was known. That was his role. Right? That was the defined role of the advocate for Brock Lesnar. There was a lot of business end things that he would do on behalf of Brock Lesnar. So you could say that. I mean, obviously, Paul Heyman wouldn't be the one cashing it in. He's not even an active competitor. And the fact that he was the advocate that was defined as kind of the business associate for Brock Lesnar and doing that kind of thing on his behalf would make sense. So that's the only way I could defend it. But that said, if the rule is the rule that no one can cash it in unless that person themselves cashes it in, then you're right. The whole thing's moot. But man, yeah, you're going to get me freaking riled up on that. It's just another one of those details overlooked, or just as Vince hopes, wrestling fans don't remember last week, you know, probably hoping that we don't remember that, but smart fans like yourself do remember it, and you have to somehow reward fans for remembering, but often they don't. They just hope that we are all goldfish that have memories of what 3 seconds goldfish have, I think it is, and for real. So certainly, Brad, thank you for bringing that up, but you can guarantee that it's not being discussed in WWE circles. And I don't even know what to say about that anymore. It's just one of those things. I mean, it just added to the pile of stuff WWE has done that don't make sense. There's no consistency over the last year. I mean, my God, the Raw Underground that finally went literally underground and buried, gone. We look at the Retribution storyline. Started, stopped. It's still around, but it's dying a slow death. It's all just stuff that is overlooked or not cared about. And it's just pro wrestling. But you're absolutely right, Brad. Yeah, I mean, the only way I could defend it is what I said at the beginning of my response. And that's it. So, alrighty, guys, thank you so much, everybody who called in, taking the time out of your day. I know everyone's busy as hell. I hope that you all have a great new year. It's going to be very different. I'm sure that it's going to be quieter. There's going to be no massive people out in the streets. If you're doing a first night or doing a New Year celebration, it's probably going to be assumingly quieter than normal. And we can all ring in 2021 with a smile, hopefully, and turn over a new leaf and just say goodbye 2020. And we all say it in unison and flip the bird to 2020. Because that's what we're doing. We're going to give it a stone cold stunner. And we're going to flip the bird, drop some beer on it, pick it up, stun it again, and celebrate. Okay. Guys, thank you so much for joining me here on the mailbag portion of the WWE podcast. And as DJ Kuzmo said, I'll talk to you next time.